do experience?
So far in the Influencer Marketing for Brands series, I have basically talked about the first phase, which was the things that you must consider as a brand on your end. When you're talking about influencer marketing and you want to work with an influencer, as a brand, what are the things that you need to consider at your side of the table? So that was part one. In part two, I'm going to be talking about the things that you need to consider as far as the influencer is concerned. So once you are down with, you know, what your campaign is going to be, what are your campaign goals going to be, how are you going to measure things, etc., which I've already talked about in previous episodes of this podcast, then you will come to what are the things to look at when you are going to be working with the influencer. So again, I have a note card, which I will be posting towards the end, and I'll post a photo as well in the blog post. You need to start with, the first point is presence. So, you know, when you're considering an influencer and, you know, you've reached out to your circle, you've reached out to other friendly brands, and you've looked at your competitors and you've seen who they're working with, or you've gotten recommendations, then imagine you have a list of maybe 100 influencers. Then the additional research you need to do on top of that to figure out if they are relevant for you or not is, first you need to check presence. Where all are they present? And I'm not saying that they need to only be present on, for example, on Instagram. Okay, so if your product or brand does not have anything visual to share, then maybe Instagram is not the best place to engage with an influencer. So if they have a very large Instagram following, but you know, the blog is more relevant for your brand and their blog barely gets any traffic, then maybe they're not the right influencer for you. So you need to consider in terms of presence, where is the influencer present? And as you might have already decided beforehand, what are the more relevant channels for your brand to be present on? So you kind of need to figure that part out. So that's part one. The second thing I would recommend that you need to figure out is that I think you should have a fair balance between working with influencers who are specialists and influencers who are also generalists. Because a specialist, you will reach out, for example, if you're talking about, you know, you make a product for moms, okay, which is specific to moms who have kids between the age of 2 to 5 years old, for example. So if you reach out to an influencer who talks only about things related to moms, then you have a very captive audience there and you are reaching out to your exact target audience, etc. But if you work with a generalist, then the chances of you reaching a prospective audience, someone who's not really a mom, but someone who might know a mom or someone who might be planning to be a mom, for example, sometime in the future, then you are kind of reaching out to both sides of the audiences there. And I think that is quite valuable instead of just reaching out to people who are already shopping from your competitors. So you might be, you know, working with a generalist influencer, you might be able to reach out to an audience that has no idea that your category of product even exists. You know what I mean? But for example, if you're working with a mommy blogger and you know, you do only mom products, then the audience probably already knows that your category of product exists and they already might be loyal to someone else and might not be so open to trying new products. It's just, I'm not saying that's how it works, but it's an interesting way to look at it. Also, for example, yeah, what I wanted to talk about was, imagine working with someone who is a photo specialist. So someone who's a photographer, right? And they are known as a photographer and they have this cool Instagram channel and they have a portfolio website, which is how traditionally most photographers have been showcasing their work. Versus if you're working with a lifestyle generalist. Now, if you're working only with the person who's known as a photographer, 90% of the people following that photographer will be aspiring photographers. So there will be other photographers. They might be amateurs or professionals as well. You'll obviously have some people following them who are not photographers or who are hobby photographers. So they are probably more relevant to you if you're selling them photography stuff. If you are a camera brand, for example, or if you've come up with a photography app, for example, then you work with one specialist photographer influencer, and you also involve, for example, a lifestyle generalist who talks about lifestyle. You know, someone like me who talks about travel, who talks about food, who talks about fashion, and I am also a photographer. I mean, I'm a unique case, so I don't want to say that I don't think there are a lot of people like me who exist who specialize in one thing and also are generalists. So I specialize as a photographer in visuals, but I'm also a generalist in the sense that I do travel and I do food, fashion. I talk about the industry. I have a podcast. So finding an influencer who's going to be like a complete all-rounder, there aren't many of them. And if they are there, they'll be slightly smaller than the really large ones. So for example, someone who has an insane Instagram following size, their blog will usually be really, really small. But someone who has a decent blog size will have a comparable number of followers, like on Instagram, for example. That's what I've observed in my experience. That's, you should know these things because this will help you actually do your research. On the basis of this, then you can decide that, okay, you know, this is a generalist that we are working with. And with a generalist, you can then get creative. You know, you can come up with campaign ideas that you probably haven't even considered because you were just thinking that, oh, you know, we make photography products, so we want to sell photography products to photographers. But with a generalist, you can actually make it look like even something as simple as a personal style blogger. So if a personal style blogger holds a camera and poses with it and then talks a little bit about what they thought was relevant to them, they're reaching out now to other personal style bloggers who might be looking at their blog. So, you know, you're kind of selling your camera to otherwise non-traditional photographers, which is what the market is right now. Most photographers are not professional photographers. Everyone with a camera is a photographer. So you don't have to reach out necessarily just to pro photographers. You can also, I know a lot of hobbyist photographers who spend probably way more money than I do on camera equipment. So that's another way of reaching out to them. Okay, so the third thing is references. Yes, now this is something that I know for a fact most Indian brands and agencies absolutely do not do. I highly recommend it if you are going to find an influencer who is going to be relevant to your brand and someone who is worth creating a long-term relationship with. For references, without actually, I mean, you can easily find out who they've worked with. They will have a client list on their blog. By the nature of a blog, you can see who they've worked with. On Instagram, you can see who they've done posts for. So you'd be able to understand that, okay, these are the people that you've been able to work for, that the influencer has worked for. And then you can reach out to them independently and say that, hey, you know, I'm planning to hire this influencer, etc. What was your experience working with them? What kind of feedback do you have? And people have conversations. You talk about this all the time. You'll get an idea of what the influencer is like to work with anyway. So you'll have some idea, but please don't go in with preconceived notions. I mean, it's like people who go tell me that, you know, so-and-so brand doesn't want to work with you because they think you're a bitch. And I'm like, I've never even spoken to anyone at the brand. How do they know that I'm a bitch or that I'm not one? So don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. But you will get an idea, or you might just learn something new that you probably haven't considered. So I think references are really important. You don't necessarily have to ask the blogger or the influencer for references. You can just go to their blog or their Instagram and see who their clients are. The other place where you can actually find a client list of theirs is in their media kit. A lot of bloggers will have at least a basic one-page PDF media kit with, you know, some photos of them, a small list of their favorite clients, maybe links to their favorite stories, a little bit about who they are, etc. So you can ask them, if you have a media kit, can you please share it with us? Or at least they'll have an about page on their blog if they have a blog. And that's one place where you can actually look for a client list. If there is none, then you can ask them that, hey, can you share a client list? I'd like to see what kind of people you worked with earlier. And then you can just reach out to these people on the site, and you can talk to them and you can figure out and, you know, see if this is someone that you might work with. And in any case, you can, once you have a conversation with the references, then you can have a conversation with the influencer. And then you can see, you know, how much of it was accurate, how much of it was a preconceived notion. I think references always help. I think it's a professional thing to do. Of course, the main thing is the influencer's blog and their Instagram and their Twitter and their own voice, their authenticity, the kind of stories they've done. You can see the quality, etc. But I think references are really important and nobody does them, which is a real shame, because I think you can find some really solid, relevant and useful, effective influencers if you actually speak to their clients and people that they've worked with in the past. Okay, so that is three things. Wow, we've covered three things already. The fourth thing is, you need to look at the kind of content and the quality that the influencer is producing. which I already said that on your end, you need to decide that, you know, is this a visual campaign? Is this going to be heavy on text, etc.? And then you need to consider that if it's a visual campaign, then you definitely need to work with an influencer who produces great images. Because if you then go to someone who is a really good writer, they might not actually have the skills to produce good images. They might not even want to produce images because they write. You know, if you come to someone like me, I'll be like, hey, you know, I'll write 400 words, but I can produce like 40 amazing photos if I have to tell a story. But I'm not all that keen on the writing bit because I'm not really a writer, you know. So you have to decide that, okay, if you want a text copy heavy campaign, then who is the person you need to work for? Again, for that, their English needs to be great because if you are planning to reach out to an English speaking audience, that is. Obviously, if you're looking for like a regional language blogger, then that's different. They need to be proficient in that language. You can't be making grammatical mistakes in that language, whichever language it is. Similarly, like I said, visuals, the photos need to be great. Not only just pretty looking photos, but they need to be relevant to the story. What is that photo trying to do? Like, you know, is it, you know, for example, my Instagram bio, I recently changed it to I photograph things/people and make it/them look awesome. That's like the basic thing that I do. It doesn't matter what it is. I can make it look visually attractive. So you need to, I'm not saying everyone's like that, but even if, you know, it's a 80-20 kind of thing. Not all photographs will be awesome. I produce a lot of mediocre stuff all the time. But am I able to translate the brand's campaign and their story idea into photos that my audience then enjoys, and on the basis of which then they're like, oh, you know, I heard about that brand on Naina's stream, that she done this nice photo, etc. That's how you kind of make the connect. So production, again, it can't just be someone who's great with images and that's it. You do need supporting text because, you know, you need to link back to the brand's website or to the brand's social media. You need to talk something about the product. Ideally, the influencer's personal experience with the product. So you need someone who is proficient in a bunch of things. That are the basics. If you want, for example, to work with someone who's like an author and who just writes really well, then you need to be ready with photographs to help them add to the visual part of the text content that they're going to create. So you need to consider the content quality that the influencer produces. If it's not good quality, but they have a really large following, you need to consider what kind of an audience you might be reaching out to. So these are questions you need to ask yourself before you finalize anything with any influencer. All right. The next point, number 5, which again I have talked about in the first part, is content licensing. Now, you might have decided that X is the kind of content licensing you want. But what is the kind of content licensing that the influencer is used to working with and what are they comfortable with? This is a point that you can use in terms of when it comes to negotiation. So a photographer like me will be like, you know, okay, per image cost is 10,000 rupees or 5,000 rupees or whatever. And I can say, I'll probably tell you that you come to me and say that, okay, no, I need 10 photos. My budget is 1 lakh. I can pay you 10,000 per image. But I need them for X, Y, Z and all the usage, perpetual, international advertising, and I can sell prints. No, I will still be like, if you want to do advertising and sell prints, etc., that means the entire copyright is transferring to you, which is not how it works. Copyright still rests with me. So you need to figure this out with all influencers. Some of them might not even know what you're talking about, which probably should tell you enough. Because if you've been in this space and you have been producing visual content for a while, you should know the value of your visual content. And if the influencer doesn't understand it, you might say, oh, fine, you know, I can work with this person for cheap. They don't really get it. You might do it once, but I don't know if that will be effective in the long run. I mean, again, one off, maybe even two campaigns you can try out with this influencer, but it just, I don't know, somehow it doesn't feel, I think the audience kind of gets that, you know, who knows what they're talking about, the level of authenticity, etc. But this is another subject that you need to consider, which is content licensing. Point number 6, disclosure handling. How is the influencer handling disclosure? Again, this is not a guideline or law in India where you need to disclose that you have been paid for something, especially for influencers. No such law exists, but I think in the long run, it will, and it will look nice if you already do disclose. And I'm not saying that you need to put an ad or sponsored, because this is not really an ad, and I totally disagree with someone who thinks that this is a, you know, a sponsored thing. It's it's a creative visual that I have created that a client has paid me for. So it's like my photography clients. That's not an ad. That's not being sponsored. I'm sharing my portfolio online on my Instagram and on my blog. So I don't need to, I don't see why I need to write hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored, you know, unless it's a proper ad that you want them to reshare. Then yes, that disclosure I think makes a lot of sense, but don't do that because I don't think you get a lot of traction due to that. I think it's wasted money. Instead of that, you might have to pay a little bit extra, but let the influencer create something original from scratch in their voice, how they interpret your brand or the campaign that you have in mind. Let them do it. You might have to pay a little bit more, but the audience will connect with it more then because it's more authentic, it's original. It's not just a PVC that you're asking somebody, are you going to Instagram pe post kar do. That I really don't like that. I've done that a couple of times and it doesn't work. The engagement is really, really low. There are no comments. In fact, a lot of people actually comment and say, oh, so now you're, you know, sharing ads. So a lot of influencers also don't really like doing this, but depends. There are all kinds of people in the market and you have to figure out which one works best for you in the long run. Right. Okay. The seventh thing that you need to consider is whether you would like to have a direct relationship with the influencer or would you like to involve an agency. And the way you then deal with the influencer will be on the basis of that. I would highly suggest that, you know, influencers are now in the category of celebrities. I think it is important to have a direct relationship with them. There is a higher chance of them being, you know, if you talk to them directly, then you're more likely to make friends with them than by an agency. And you can actually understand their pain points. Through an agency, there's a lot of misrepresentation, lying even, and it just leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. So there's a case to be made for both sides. Like if you have, you know, 250 influencers that you need to interface with every month, then probably going through an agency makes sense. Even with a smaller number, going through an agency would make sense to let them handhold you, etc. But if you're a smaller brand who doesn't have a budget for an agency, I think a direct interaction or direct relationship with the influencers is best. I'll give you an example. I'm posting this after a couple of weeks, but right now there is a assignment being discussed and they have obviously reached out to a bunch of influencers. What they don't realize is that we actually call each other up and talk to each other and we sometimes end up discussing clients. And they have gone ahead and told the other influencers that, for example, Naina is already on board, whereas all I've had is one email interaction and I'm not on board. And you know what happens is, you know, that if someone calls you up and says that, hey, you know, your sister said yes, so it'll be so cool if you also do it, this is our budget, I'm more likely to actually say yes. But guess what? I can actually call up my sister and ask her if she's on board or not. And we've actually had this. People have tried this and I never understand it. I'll be like, I'll see the email that says, oh, you know, Akanksha Redu is on board and she is confirmed to us. And I'll be like, oh, that's cool. You know, let me find out what the deal is. And I'll call up Akanksha and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I got one email and I said, let's discuss. And eventually it didn't work out. So I don't know why they're saying I'm on board. Yes, this happens. And yes, we talk to each other. And, you know, how long are you going to hide this shit? Pata chal jata hai. So I think this is because there's an agency in the middle. I'm pretty sure the brand has no clue what's going on. I mean, I'm sure the brand is just telling that, okay, these are the 15 people. Out of these are 5 people that we want to work with. That's another thing. They told me that I'm the only influencer they want to work with. And I know that they've spoken to at least 3 other influencers. So don't do this. It leaves a bad taste in the mouth. Next time I work with you, I will be, you know, probably more curt with you. I as much as possible, every influencer's goal is to try and make it work. Things like this only dirty the relationship. Don't do it. Just say that, you know, this is not possible and then that's the end of it. Negotiating on the basis of, oh, you know, that person has said this, so why are you saying this? That's not, you called me. I mean, I'm not, why are you making the comparison? So this usually happens with agencies. With clients, I think the problem is the larger the client, the more they think that they somehow, you know, that an influencer is somehow obligated to do stuff for them. Like I remember, it didn't happen with me. But someone was discussing with another influencer directly. The brand was discussing about, you know, some new store launches were happening, etc. And the influencer agreed with them on a certain budget that they had decided. And this influencer also does not work without 100% advance payment. So they were like, okay, so, you know, I will need 100% advance. And the response of the person who works at the brand was, But I am X brand. Like, we are X brand. And that means nothing. It really doesn't. Especially not when everyone in the market knows that. I mean, I have friends and peers who have quit working at that brand and have not been paid their salaries for like 3 months. They weren't allowed to withdraw their provident fund. And your brand already has a really bad reputation. So for you to actually tell someone that, oh, we are X brand, what does that mean? That you don't trust us? It's, yeah, sure. No, we don't. There it is. So it's if someone has a way of working, they have policies, you have policies. If it doesn't match up, too bad, maybe next time. But don't say that, oh, we are so-and-so and you think, what do you think? And, you know, what do you think of yourself? It always ends up with that. Who do you think you are? So, okay. So that's actually, I've gone through the entire card. So things to consider when you are a brand is what I discussed in part one. And things to consider before you reach out to the influencer from the influencer's point of view. Were these things? And again, questions, please send me questions. Bye.